You are listening to the Business and Life Conversations podcast with Angela Henderson, episode 151. Hey there, you're listening to the Business and Life Conversations podcast. My name is Angela Henderson, and on this show, we talk about improving your business, life, or both by having amazing and rich conversations with brilliant guests who will inspire you and who will give you tips and tricks to help you grow both in life and in business. Well, hey there, amazing human, and welcome back to another awesome episode of the Business and Life Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Ange, from Angela Henderson Consulting, where I'm an international award-winning business consultant and coach who has helped thousands of amazing women business owners get all the pieces in place to have consistent 4- and 5-figure months, and then on to 6- and 7+-figure years without burning out in the process. Today is an episode that should have happened in the first 3 months of my podcasting life with the Business and Life Conversations podcast. However, it's taken almost 3 years to have this topic on the podcast, a topic that is super close to me because it's one of the fundamental elements businesses should have in place when starting out in their businesses. It's imperative, imperative, and imperative, and something I speak so often about with my own paid clients, a topic that just goes unnoticed when we're in those infancy stages, growth stage, and even scale stage, because we're looking at where's the next dollar coming in, or we're building our team, whatever. However, the sooner you have this piece in place, the sooner you don't have to depend on other platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, etc., to have a sustainable business. The topic I'm talking about is SEO, otherwise known as search engine optimization. All I can say is if you run a business, seriously, 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 you need to listen to this episode. SEO is super important. Are you getting that? SEO is super important. And today I bring on the amazing Carl, who is not only a wonderful friend of mine, but also someone who has been doing my own SEO for many, many years and getting, on average, on any given month, my traffic from SEO, search engine optimization, ranges from anywhere from 42% of my traffic to up to 55% of my traffic over the last couple of months. He's an absolute legend in this space. So sit back, because it's an episode talking about what is SEO, what are the benefits of SEO. We also talk about the different types of SEO, if SEO is right for all businesses, and so much more. Seriously, do not miss this amazing episode. But before we get started on this episode is sponsored by my $8 a day, 12-month accelerator program called Coaching Profit Pillars, where I show you how to transform your business so that you can make more money, hell yes to 4- and 5-figure months, reach more people, have more time to enjoy with your family and friends, and put an end to burnout for good. This program is specifically for women in business who are on their way to hitting their first 5-figure months. They might have a business idea, or they already have their business up and running and making some money, but they know they could be making so much more if they knew what to be focusing on. Profit Pillars is a hybrid model, meaning I bring one-on-one group coaching, guest experts, monthly mindset coaches, et cetera, into Profit Pillars. When you work with me in this 12-month accelerator, you get 12 monthly goal setting, live goal setting sessions. You get 12 monthly workshops with guest experts. You get fortnightly hot seat calls. You get 12 monthly office hours. You get year-round access to my business vault. You get 12-month access to our private VIP Facebook group. You get some one-on-one strategy time. You also get access to other guest experts and mentors. I've got 10 of them in my program that you can also access. You get monthly mindset coaching, all for $8 a day. $8 a day to move your business forward, to get the clarity you need, the support you need, and the strategy you need to grow that sustainable and profitable business. If you'd like to know more about how you can join Profit Pillars for $8 a day, make sure you head to angelahenderson.com.au and click on the services tab and then coaching programs, so you have the full understanding of what Profit Pillars is all about. If you have any questions, make sure to hit me up at info@angelahenderson.com.au. Now let's get into this epic SEO episode. Welcome to the show, Carl.
Hey, how are you, Ange?
I'm good. Now, can we just say, holy shit, Batman, can you believe that this is finally happening?
How many years has it been going? And
we're about to hit the 3-year mark where I've been podcasting every week, one episode for 3 years, and it's finally happening. Like I said, we have been planning on having you on the podcast now for like ever, and just our schedules. And then there was one time when you were going to come on, but then I think you were due to go traveling to Thailand. So I'm pumped to have you here today, because you know I'm a massive fan, massive underlined, bold, italicized of SEO. And those that work with me in a paid capacity know the power of SEO because it's one of the first things I talk to them about when they start working with me. But I also equally not only want those listeners out there who aren't working with me to understand the power of SEO and how they can start to integrate this into their own business strategy, because there's a lot of things changing in the world with media outlets, costs of ads and things like that, and how SEO could be doing some of the heavy lifting for people. So yes, I can't believe that it's taken 151 episodes to get you here, but we are here and I'm so excited to talk to you about SEO today. But before we get started, I always like to ask my guests a fun question before we jump into everything, because it's important that they get to know a little bit about you. So my question for you, my friend, is I know how much you love to travel. I equally know how much you love to rock and roll at concerts and drink beer to the finest. I mean, one night you did ditch me in Melbourne because you had a concert to go to. So I'd love for you to share with the audience your all-time favorite concert you attended and why.
Oh, that's a tough one. I think I've been to probably over 100 of them. I don't know. I guess I would say the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I went and saw them a big day out years ago, and just because they're my favorite band in the world, and you know, just to be standing in front of a band, and I got up pretty close, but to be standing in front of a band that I love so much was pretty crazy. So yeah, that would be my favorite.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I feel like now's the opportunity to give a dig back. That is really showing your age, Carl. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard you say that to me, and I think we're 10 years difference in age. But you always say, oh, you're getting old, Ange. I'm like, oh, look who's talking now. Red Hot Chili Peppers. I mean, that is back in the day, old school, Carl. So hey, I'd like to say you've officially hit the old age compartment now today, Carl. So I'm actually smiling from ear to ear, knowing I can now throw this back in your face.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I think I must have been maybe 25, 24 when we first started working together, 25. Uh-huh. So, I am starting to get on a little bit now.
And show your colors. Now, most of my audience, Carl, like I said, my paid audience would know about you because I rave about you all the time. But I would assume that most of the listeners out here don't know a lot about the amazing Carl SEO website Ninja. So I'd love for you to tell us just a really quick overview about where you started your entrepreneurial journey and what you're up to now.
So basically I started at university. So I went and did a business degree, and majored in entrepreneurship. And I was always, I went there and there's all these other people around me that were doing the same degree, but they were talking about going out and getting jobs and stuff like that. But I was like, I want to get straight into it. And so I started building a little website, which funnily enough was for entrepreneur advice and small business advice. Everything that I was talking about on there was basically just what I was learning at uni, so it was all theory and no practice, but that was kind of where I started to learn about building websites and learned about SEO, and then that kind of just kicked things off. And then someone said to me, can you build me a website? And so I did, and then the next minute I was building every Tom, Dick and Harry website and starting to do SEO for people. And then I went, all right, time to just give it a go and go full time in it, which was a pretty tough decision when I just bought a house at 23 and a couple of investment properties. So it was a lot of expenses and not much income, which was pretty tough, but that's where it all started.
It all started. And now what are you doing today? So you obviously started with the entrepreneurial advice earlier on. You started building websites. You still continue to build some of the best conversional websites. And that would be a podcast for a whole nother day, because I'm very big about equally having a converting website, not a website that looks pretty. I give two fucks if the website looks pretty. I want websites that convert. But you're doing websites, but now you're also an SEO strategist.
Yep. Yeah. So we've got both. Obviously, both of those really work well together.
Yes.
So I have been doing sort of SEO from the start, but only taking on a few clients because there was only so much I could handle while building, building all these websites. But then started to build a team and take on more and more clients, and I've actually got my partner has joined me in the business, and she's now managing the SEO clients and doing a bloody amazing job.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so again, pretty big, like you said, 23, you start the journey. Now, again, we won't go into age, but you are getting mighty old, my friend. And we're here. So SEO, I just really want to start off by saying to the audience that SEO is pretty much a fucking beast. We could be here, Carl and I, for 8 hours, and we're going to barely touch what we need to touch upon. So today is we will jam pack as much as we can. But today, I really just want those out there who don't know much about SEO, or maybe you have SEO and you think you have SEO. You know, Carl, when I first met Carl, he actually was looking at my e-com business, and he's like, you do know that your SEO people are just taking about $1,500 a month and not actually doing anything, right? And so for me, this is about you giving Carl, the audience, an understanding about SEO so that they have that better foundational element about the concept of it. My lesson that I learned earlier on is that in business, you need to know all aspects of your business. You don't need to know you don't need to be doing the doing. But you need to be able to call someone out that if they're doing your SEO strategy, that you're able to actually understand the strategy that they have in place, but equally be able to look at the back end and ensure that they're doing what they say they're doing. So today is really just, like I said in the title of this podcast, SEO one-on-one, giving you the very bare minimums about what you need to start understanding, because it is a topic that is quite complex. So let's start off with that, Carl. Can you define to the audience what is SEO?
All right. So, yeah, so obviously it stands for search engine optimization, which not everyone might know, but basically it's what we call the art of increasing the quality and the quantity of website traffic through non-page search engine results. So a lot of people kind of think of SEO of just, you know, getting as much traffic to the website as possible. But we're all about getting buying traffic to the website. So people that are actually going to take action and buy your products, or you know, sign up for your course, or inquire about your services. So it's pretty important to get a real good understanding of not just what people are searching for, but why they're searching it. Mm-hmm. So I guess to sort of use an example of how SEO works, like, so say you're selling coffee beans, and there's thousands of people searching for buy coffee beans online each month. You obviously want to be the first website they see, so those people are going to your website and buying your coffee beans, not your competitors. But yeah, essentially we do SEO to put more money in your pocket and grow your business, get you more exposure for your brand, and get, basically it sort of allows you to get in front of people who have never heard of you but are looking for what you sell. And I mean, you know, we've had results like taking people for, you know, with monthly sales from 7,000 per month to 45,000 a month in a couple of years, for a company that sells casting and molding materials, $0 a month to 10,000 per month in a year for a skincare brand. So you can start to sort of see how powerful it can be if it's done right. And, you know, obviously, if you're the right sort of, you're targeting the right people where it's, you know, where they're looking for what you're selling.
Also, just, I mean, the importance of SEO is the analogy that I always use is people are in the underwear scrolling Facebook, and you see thousands of different posts per day as you scroll, from family members to things in Facebook groups to ads, etc. And you really have to have some what I call disruptive marketing. You really have to have a Facebook ad that's going to make people stop the scroll. Yeah. And you also not only need to get them to stop the scroll while they're watching Netflix, have their toddler screaming in the background. They might be on a conversation with their partner and they're scrolling. Because let's be honest, we all are multitasking for most part of the way the world works, unfortunately. All right. And so SEO is one of those things that when people actually go to Google, they are in that much pain or that much need for finding whatever it is that you potentially have to offer, that you have the power to be in front of them right off the bat on that page one scenario if you choose to put in an SEO strategy. But in addition to that, they're more likely to then convert because they're going there because they want to go there versus them sitting on there and they may or may not want what you have on Facebook that night. Yeah. The example that I use is when my brother unfortunately passed away a few years ago is that he, like, when I, when when I went looking, I didn't go onto Facebook to look for a plane ticket.
No.
I went to Google. My credit card was already out and I needed to find the cheapest route at that stage because there's no point trying to get home the quickest route because he'd already passed. But yeah. They already pretty much had my sale, Carl. I just had to find the right route, relatively inexpensive, and pay them the money. So SEO is a different way to market to people because, again, they're in that much pain. They need you and they want your solution. Is that an accurate reflection?
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. So that's it. Like, that's the thing that we love the most about SEO is it really is people that are actually searching for you. Like, they're actively looking for what you've got to sell. So you're not kind of just having to force it upon them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Again, well, it does the selling for you because they're the ones looking, right?
Yeah.
Now, as we mentioned earlier on, is that there are so many different layers to SEO. There's like people, I think, that it's just like a one dimensional. Well, actually, it's like 952 dimensions of SEO. But for today, we're going to try and keep it as simple as possible. But can you explain these different levels and how they work together?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, we'll try and condense those 900 different factors into three main factors that Google looks at when they're deciding which pages to rank first. So yes, those are relevance, authority, and user experience. So SEO is about basically giving Google what they want, which in general is also what your customers want. So the first one is relevance. So they obviously, Google wants to display content that's relevant to the keyword that people search for. So if somebody searches Google for coffee beans, they expect to find pages about coffee beans, not cats. So to make sure that Google knows that your content is relevant, it's probably a good idea to use the keyword that they're searching for in the copy at least a couple of times. So places like the main headings, subheadings, inside the content, SEO titles, and we can go into lots of different details about how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you also got to keep it natural because it's got to read well for users as well as for Google.
Mm-hmm.
And Google's actually getting a lot smarter at working out how relevant your page is to the user. So in the olden days, back when I was young and things were pretty new, Google was basically like you could just stuff your pages with keywords and put it in there a bunch of times. Even if the page had no other relevance, it would still rank. But Google obviously doesn't want that. So they've got smarter and smarter at working out what the page is about.
Mm-hmm.
So we also need to look at like what other words Google associates with that keyword. So words that I guess are topically relevant. So if people are searching for coffee, Google might expect you to also mention words like beans and grind, caffeine, roast, things that are relevant to it. You want to make sure that you're talking about those things on the page.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously that's because that's what the user would expect as well. So Google's all about trying to provide the user with the best experience. I guess there's a whole lot of like research that you've got to do to really understand what Google expects to see on the page, not just those specific keywords.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to always make sure that you're focusing on keeping your content natural and make sure you're never losing the conversion in that copy. Like, there's no point getting thousands of people to your site if they're not actually going to buy from you. So you've got to make sure that it sounds, reads well as well. That's also called on-page optimization. And that's what, I guess a lot of people have probably heard a bit about. That's just really making sure that the content on the page is answering the user's search.
And when Carl says content on the page, he's also really, that's about the content on your website. And for those of you that, again, just because I understand it and Carl understands it, is content could be like a blog article, for example, and the relevancy that's that you're writing there. It could be your homepage copy. It could be your product descriptions, correct, Carl? So it could be a variety of those things that need to be on the website, correct?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I guess there's always like the actual page that you want to rank first and foremost. Like, obviously, that page that you're trying to rank has to make sure that's very well targeted to the keyword and you're using those associated keywords. but you also might, something that we do is build content around a particular keyword. So say you're, trying to target coffee beans on this one page, we might do a couple of blog articles that are, answering questions around that, and then, link them back to that main page. Mm-hmm. And that kind of tells Google that it's not just this one page that's relevant to their search, but people are actually, they're going to find all this other information on your website, and that's just another signal to Google that you are a good, that you're, I guess, an expert on that particular topic.
Mm-hmm. And Carl, you mentioned a few things, keywords. So I just want to go back to that. And let's just, so for people out there like, well, what is this keyword thing? Could you give an example with the coffee bean example about what that particular business might want for their, like, what would their, some of their keywords be for the coffee industry?
So I guess it depends on which page you're trying to rank. I guess if they're like selling coffee beans, one of the things that you want to do is make sure that you're targeting keywords that have what we call buying intent. So if someone's searching for buy coffee beans online, like, you know that they're going to be actually searching for, they're ready to buy. Like you said in that example earlier, like they've got their credit card out ready to go, and they're just looking to find the right one, the right place to buy it from. So, I guess you've got to make sure that you are looking at what those keywords actually mean, like, because there's different types of intent. Like, they could be just looking to research, they could be just trying to find out more information about coffee, and they're not actually at a stage where they want to buy coffee. Mm-hmm. They could be at the stage where, like, they know, okay, we want to buy some coffee, and they're looking around for it. So you've got to kind of look at that as well when you're looking at the keywords that people are searching.
And it's like, and would you say that keyword research is one of the first things that people would do when we start looking at SEO for a particular business, to really get a ground understanding of what's going on for that business and where potentially SEO could take them?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, keyword research is the most important thing that we do, basically. So it's like you've got to kind of have that understanding of what people are searching for. So luckily for us, Google releases data of how many people are searching for a particular keyword each month, and so we're able to look at that and use tools. There's free tools and paid tools, which we prefer the paid tools, and we get better data from that. But basically, we look at how many people are searching for those keywords. We then go and look at, like I said earlier, what the intent of those keywords are, because we want to make sure that people are actually closer to the buying stage of the buyer's journey. They're not just looking for information about it. That's keyword research is kind of the foundation of everything we do, because there's no point doing all this work sort of optimizing your web page for keywords that you think people might be looking for, and then finding that actually there's only 10 people a month searching for that. So mm-hmm. you've got to make sure you do that first. Like, that's pretty much always the first step for us, is keyword research.
And how important is it? I have a beautiful soul in one of my programs, Profit Pillars, and she had written inside of the group, because she was new. So she had just started looking at my, my modules, and she had started on the hot seat calls, hearing a little bit about the SEO side of things. And bless her cotton socks, she went and was like, I'm getting this, I'm going to write this article. It's going to help me with my SEO. Right. And, and in her brain, because she didn't know what she didn't know, because she actually hadn't gotten specifically to the SEO part of the training. And she had said, she's like, so I'm good for my SEO. And I'm like, yeah, not really. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so I just want us to also break down that, like, yes, blog articles, writing for blog articles can help, especially if they're keyword specific, but it's really a collection that you have to work with. It's a collaboration. It's not just one blog article. It's about making sure that your homepage has the right keywords and copy, that your about page does, that your category pages do, that your product, individual products, if you're an e-com or a service-based business, is done. And then it's like, once you have those keywords, there's other things behind or underneath the car bonnet, I guess you could say, like your SEO titles, your meta descriptions and things like that. So when I said to her, I was like, yes, you're making a good headway with writing content that's relevant to your audience. And yes, you can optimize it, but you also have to think about the bigger picture. How much would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. We always, with any SEO strategy, we kind of start off with the key pages, which, I mean, if you're an e-commerce page website, you might look at like the category pages that are going to have, you know, the most sort of search volume. And then we start going down to like the individual product pages. With a service-based website, I guess you want to target those service pages first and foremost, so you want to like optimize them, because like I was sort of talking about before, those are the pages that you want to optimize for the people who are like have buying intent. So when they're, you know, when they're looking to actually buy, you're getting them straight to that service page, they're ready to buy. Whereas the blog articles, that's kind of the secondary thing, because that's generally speaking is targeting people that are a bit further behind in the buyer's journey. So they're kind of, they're just looking to research and do, you know, they, maybe they know they've got a problem, but they don't know the solution to it yet. So they, you know, you're giving them information about how to solve that problem and sort of pushing them closer to a purchasing decision. But those, yeah, those service pages are the most important ones, because that's people already ready to spend their money.
And buy. And so we've talked a lot about what you would call the on-site SEO, Carl, right? Everything that we're looking underneath the hub of your own website. But there's another part of SEO that you typically get to once this initial journey is done, and that's where you start to build, you could say, credits or links or et cetera from other people's websites, which is like that offsite SEO. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that factors into your overall credibility and ranking with Google?
Yeah, for sure. So that's the second pillar. I mentioned earlier, there's three sort of main pillars. So that's the second pillar is what we call authority, which is basically trying to measure the popularity and trust of your website. So search engines like Google sort of work out the authority of your site by looking at what other companies and websites are linking to you and talking about you, and, you know, sharing you on social media and things like that, because that's obviously, you know, indicators to the search engines that your content is a trusted source of information. Unfortunately, it's also why getting high rankings doesn't happen overnight. It takes some time to build up that authority and get lots of websites linking to you. But to kind of explain it a little bit, so we use a term called link juice in SEO, and basically link juice is the amount of ranking power that is passed on through a link. So if another website's linking to you, they pass on some link juice to you, and that is that it's kind of like a vote of approval to the search engines that they trust you. And but in saying that, like you would kind of expect, if you've got a link from some little blog that no one's heard about, is basically hidden on the internet, if they link to you, like that's going to be worth, you know, might be worth a tiny little bit. But if you've got a link from like a government website or a big news website like news.com.au, that's obviously going to pass on a lot more authority, because Google knows that, you know, that's a trusted source. There's, you know, they're very unlikely to just be linking to spam websites. So Google, you know, they try to think of all these things to work out, that you are an authority in your industry and you are trusted. Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah, what we've got to kind of do is go out and you want to be, you know, getting featured on blogs and talked about in blog articles and stuff like that on high authority websites. And that is one of the biggest ranking factors in Google, is making sure that you actually have, you know, more authority than your competitors in that respect.
And I think what you mentioned there too is a very important thing, is, and we spoke about it last week's episode with Odette around PR, is that SEO is a long-term strategy. Now, when we say long-term, it doesn't mean that it's 58 years long-term, but it's not a quick fix. Yeah. It's again, because of the different layers and what we were talking about with Odette last week with PR is that it takes time to build relationships with the journalists and the PR, you know, publicists, et cetera, to get your name out there. It could take 5 or 6 months before they can even write an article, because if they're running a magazine, it could be they're like a 3 month advancement, right? So again, people don't just go, okay, yep, SEO, quick, I've ticked that box, or you think you've ticked that box. I still do monthly SEO with Carl. In fact, 53% of my traffic for the month of February 2021 came from SEO. And we'll talk more about the benefits of it, but SEO is one of the key things, because I'm not reliant on Facebook or Instagram for my traffic. I've got multiple channels coming in, because if Instagram or Facebook closes down, I'm pretty much would be, do you mean, in some way screwed. I'd still have my podcast, but I really want to build my own credibility and authority and getting those people there organically versus just be heavily reliant on ads. So it is a long-term strategy, which I'm still working on every single month with you and Lisa, and the benefits clearly pay off. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. So we've got pillar one, we've got pillar two. And what's that third pillar that really makes up those different layers to the SEO?
All right. And so, yeah, the third one is the user experience. So Google wants to know that when people go from Google to your website, that they're having a good experience on there. They should be able to find that info that they want fast, because, you know, there's no point getting people to your website if they can't find what they're looking for, or they'll just turn around and head back to Google and search for someone else. And if people do keep leaving your website and going back to a different page, Google will quickly drop you out of the rankings, because if they don't do that, like, essentially, if people can't find what they want when they're searching in Google, then Google's going to go out of business. Like, that's why Google has got so big, because they've been really good at showing people the results that they want. So Google has, you know, had to become pretty harsh on that to make sure that they know that people are actually getting that info on your site. So I guess there's a few different things that come into play here. Like, you've got web design and development. This is sort of where they fill in that gap. So I guess you want your site to look good, but more importantly, you want it to feel good. So you want to optimize your menus and have good, what we call internal linking throughout the site, so that, you know, people can continue to get more information and stay on your site longer. And they can just navigate your site really easy. It also means, just laying out the information in a logical and easily digestible way, so that they can read that information and take everything in well. You also want to look at making sure that your website's mobile friendly. More people browse the web on their phones and computers now, and Google's obviously pretty open about the fact that they expect you to provide a good mobile experience, because that's where they get most of their customers. So, I guess it also means ensuring that your website is set up in a way that Google can read and understand your content. So having URLs with the keywords in your name in the URL, and menu names that reflect the content on that page, making sure there's no broken links and stuff like that on your website, because, again, like, if people are coming onto your website and then they're clicking on a link to find out more, and then that just takes them to nowhere, then they just end up going back to Google and looking for someone else. I guess that's kind of the three main pillars, and you have to really focus on making sure that you're solving all three of those, not just one or two of them. Because Google does look very heavily at each of those.
As we know, it's, I think it was you and I talked about this ages ago, and I just want to make sure I've got the data right. Something about, there's often people like, well, if I do this, I'll be on page 2 or page 3 of Google. Yes, that's amazing. I mean, yes, it's amazing compared to page 50, but really, correct me if I'm wrong, from what I remember you teaching me over the years, is that leverage really comes to when you're on page 1, spot 1, spot 2, or spot 3. And I think you said that if you're on page 1, spot 1, it's 25% of the traffic. Is that right? Is typically yours 15% if you're on page or spot 2, and 10% if you're on page spot 3? Or what are those numbers again, Carl?
So I'd have to go back to those numbers because I've got Lisa handles all of that stuff, but that's around about the figures. If you're not in the top five, you're going to get if you're in between positions 5 and 10, you're only going to get basically a dribble of what's available, you know, the amount of people that are searching. Whereas when you're in that top three, you get a good percentage of it, because most people just, as long as they see something that stands out to them straight away, they're going to, you know, they're not going to keep scrolling further. So that's why, like, often we've had, I think even maybe with you, we had like some keywords that were sitting at around 4 or 5, and you see like, all right, should we jump on and look at, to start targeting these other pages? And I said, well, you know, we can obviously, but if we get those pages into, you know, spot 3 or 2, which, you know, takes a bit more work, because as you're, you know, going from position 5 to position 3 takes a lot more work than going from, you know, position 12 to position 9. And so, but the amount of traffic that you get from going from spot 5 to spot 3 is just like huge. So you've got to just kind of not be satisfied with being like, yeah, I'm on the front page, that's all good. Like, we've got to get you in that top 3 spots.
And again, that's why it's long term, right? So it's like, you, Lisa and I, we've got a quarterly strategy that we work on. Then we work on a monthly strategy. And then we're also measuring this data to see, how are we improving? Have we gone down slots? Because again, similar to Facebook's algorithm, Google too, stuff goes up and down and fluctuates on any given day. So again, it's not just an easy this, but I just wanted to kind of highlight to the people listening that spot 1, spot 2, and spot 3 on page 1 are really important factors. And that the way that content is delivered, the way that people will hit your site, and how traffic is distributed throughout that, that just being on page 2 and 3 isn't how, you know, again, back in the olden days, Carl, that may have been okay, where now the playing field has changed tremendously.
Yeah.
So in regards to SEO, Carl, what do you think? I mean, I've briefly spoken about it earlier, about the difference between Facebook ads and Instagram ads, but I'm curious to see what your thoughts are about, why is SEO even more important now than ever before, and ensuring that businesses have this part of their overall strategy?
There's more and more people are using search engines in their daily lives to find everything from restaurant recommendations to skincare products. And your target audience is probably searching for products or services like yours. That's the big thing, is that's continuing to grow. Also, some of you might have heard of COVID. It's obviously caused a pretty devastating loss for a lot of bricks and mortar businesses especially. And it's forced a lot of businesses to move online. We're seeing a lot of bricks and mortar businesses that are starting to do e-commerce online, because obviously it's just a lot easier to operate through these crazy times. Mm-hmm. But it has also created a land of opportunity as more people are comfortable buying online. Mm-hmm. The problem is your competitors are quickly waking up to the opportunity. And so where some people may have been naturally ranking in the past and they thought, we're not even doing much for SEO, but they're just naturally ranking because they're in a low competition market. But now that's all sort of turning around and they're being left behind because other competitors are jumping on the bandwagon. Going back even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, especially, not many businesses, especially in Australia, not that many businesses were taking advantage of SEO, and it was a lot easier to rank then. So I guess the longer you leave it, the further behind you might get, and the harder it becomes to actually catch up.
Mm-hmm. And again, I've seen it in my space with particular people. I took a break off of SEO last year during Christmas, I think it was. And even during that small break, right, there were other people who are in my field, my competitors. Again, I'm all about collaboration. But when it comes to SEO, again, I still want to be ahead of the game here, right? It's a nice little competition. And again, they overtook me in some of those keywords, right? So it's like, if you take the pedal off, that's okay. But other people might be doubling down on that strategy. strategy too, right? So then you've got a, you know, again, long-term strategy. Now, that's the important element too. And like I said, is now than ever before, you've got, you know, Facebook in a fight with Apple, for example, what data is going to be showed for retargeting? What isn't going to be retargeted? You've got cost of ads going up on Facebook, and it's getting even harder to go there. And not to mention, if you've got a high end product and the amount of time it takes to get someone through the buyer's journey. Whereas again, if someone is searching in SEO for something in specific, it might be a high ticket item, but they more likely might be able to buy quicker because of the fact that they've made that decision already, whereas versus you having to bring them on that journey. So again, I can't emphasize enough about the importance of SEO than ever before. Now, the other thing that I want to talk about, though, is the importance of it. But what have you seen in your years, I use that plural, Carl, of doing this? Have you seen the benefits a business can see when they use SEO in a strategic manner?
I mean, obviously, like one of the big ones is more sales. So like I mentioned earlier, people can more than 10x their sales through SEO when it's done right. Then that creates all sorts of, you know, opportunities for growth, to grow your business, to have a better life at home for your family and things like that. So that's a pretty major sort of overarching one. I guess there's the potential for a high return on your marketing investment. So like we've spoken about already, you get people to your site that are actually actively looking for what you're offering rather than sort of forcing yourself upon them. And that's not to take anything away from Facebook ads and things like that. But, you know, often that's kind of, you're sort of pushing your product or your service in front of them, like you say, when they're not necessarily looking for it. And both strategies, don't get me wrong, can have amazing results, but that's what we love about SEO, and that's why we chose to stick with SEO, because I guess that's kind of who I am as well. Like, I don't like pushing myself on people. I'm kind of take it or leave it. This is what we do. And if you're looking for that, then let's chat and let's help you move forward. Another one would be more brand exposure, which I guess is pretty big for small businesses. And so people who have no idea you exist can discover you when they're searching for what you sell. So that's the beauty of it, is that, you know, you don't have to be a big name to thrive in search and get yourself in front of lots of people. Because, you know, people are just looking for a specific product or a service. And if you're there, then they're going to find you, even if they've never heard of you before. Another thing would be staying ahead of your competitors. So if you believe in what you do, and I'm sure, you know, if you're listening to this, you do believe in what you do, you probably know that you serve your customers better than the competitors would. So I guess, you know, to put it back on you, like, you'd be doing them a disservice if you let them into the hands of your competitors. You should be the one to serve them, and so you know that, you know, you're giving them that good experience that they're looking for. And then the other thing, and again, nothing against Google Ads, because they've got a huge place in marketing. But what I like is that when people search in Google, what you'll find is that a lot of people, I guess, look straight past the paid ads, because a lot of people don't even realize until I mention that, but Google says ad next to the search result for the paid ads. So a lot of people find that they just naturally scroll straight past the ads and go down to the organic search results, so the ones that are naturally ranking. That's something that I think, you know, has the benefit of getting more traffic for each keyword.
I mean, seriously, so many good benefits, right? And like you said, the one about Google Ads definitely have a place, right? And they work really well for some organizations, but you still can't take the truth when it's like, a lot of times I'm exactly that. It's like, okay, great, ad, boop, what's actually organically in front of me, right? And that's obviously because I know what I know, but I'm not looking at those ads. So again, being able to really focus on getting you in that spot 1, 2, or 3 is going to be to your advantage if so many people are just going past those ads and just carrying on from it from an organic point of view. But would you say, though, Carl, SEO, is it good for every business, or is that it depends?
Yeah, it definitely depends. It's definitely important for a lot of businesses, but not all. I guess there's three big things that it depends on, and that's how many people are searching Google for what you sell, how much your offering is, and then also how difficult it is to rank for those keywords. So, you know, when we look at how many people are searching Google for what you sell and how much your offering is, like if you've got a $10 offering and there's 50 people searching for it each month, like you're probably not going to get much return out of that investment. It's probably not that worthwhile. But if you've got that high ticket $10,000 offering and there's 50 people per month searching for it, that's going to look a lot more enticing. So that's one of the big things that you want to look at. But the other thing is how difficult it is to rank for those keywords. Because, you know, if you find that there's all these just huge businesses that are actually actively targeting those keywords, and, you know, when people are searching for example, let's say, you know, buy coffee beans online, just going back to what we said earlier, if they're just all dominated by the big companies and there's no chance of really overtaking them because they've got huge budgets, they're spending, you know, investing a lot of time and money on SEO and they've got huge authority, then you may find that like there's just not really any keywords that you're going to be able to rank for. So again, it just may not be worthwhile using SEO to drive people, because it is a big investment of time and or money to get, you know, and it is that long-term strategy. And so
I guess it goes back to just the importance of that kind of primal thing that we need to do is the question I have to ask you is, how can businesses get started with SEO? And I'm assuming we're going to go back to that keyword research, because if we don't have the keyword research, which is going to tell us in that report what the volume is, how much, what the difficulty is, what that your competitors are doing, then again, we're flying by the seat of our pants, correct? And so the importance of that keyword research report is going to be, you know, really the driving force behind everything else that happens.
Yeah, for sure. Keyword research is always the key to any SEO strategy. It's the foundation. So we always suggest, before you go optimizing your website for different keywords, don't just go guessing what people are searching for. Like, you need to get the actual data through proper keyword research. And I think I said earlier, like, there's, you know, there are free tools like Uber suggests that you can do, and even Google's keyword planner, that you can do your own keyword research, but they don't give you all of the data. There's a lot more that you've got to look at when you're doing keyword research. So I guess, like, when we're looking at keyword research, we look at a few things. So first of all, you know, what are your customers searching for? So we want to find out the keywords that are most likely to lead to sales. So not just, you know, what they're searching for, but like I spoke about earlier, it's also based on the intent. Like, if they're searching because they want to buy and they're ready, they've got their credit card out, then those are the keywords we really want to target. Whereas a lot of people kind of go, you know, for example, they're selling coffee beans online, they think, all right, let's target coffee as a keyword. But I mean, one, that's going to be probably impossible to rank for. You've got no idea what those people are looking for. Like, are they researching about coffee? Are they looking to buy coffee? Are they looking for a coffee shop? Like, who knows at that point? So then the next thing is to look at how many people are searching for those keywords each month. And that gives you, you know, a bit of an idea of the size of your market in Google. Then, as I mentioned earlier, then we look at, you know, how difficult it is to rank for them. Mm-hmm. So we want to look at what, you know, who is currently ranking for them and how much authority they have, because you don't want to be wasting your time and money going for keywords that you're not really going to have a chance of ranking for. Then we also would look at, like, who or what your competitors are ranking for. So because we're kind of starting off with, like, guessing what people might search for, and we're looking, using these tools to come up with other potential keywords. Another good thing is to actually jump on, you know, look at your competitors' websites, and using tools you can see what they're actually ranking for, and then you can kind of make sure that you go and get in front of them and target those keywords, because, you know, if they're ranking for them, there's a good chance they're relevant for you as well.
No, perfect. And a lot of times people will talk about Google My Listing. Can you tell us a little bit about what Google My Listing is and how does this impact SEO or not impact SEO?
So Google My Business Listing is basically like that's more for your local search engine optimization. So when people are searching for, you know, for example, a plumber in Sydney, there, you know, you want your business to be coming up the top, and that's kind of more in like the Google Maps listing. And so they'll show those businesses that are close to Sydney, and you'll see, you know, how many reviews you've got in Google My Business and things like that, so that people can decide if they want to go for you. And so that's definitely important when you're doing local SEO and you're really just trying to target a specific location. It may not be as important, obviously, for, you know, when you're going nationwide and, you know, e-commerce businesses and stuff like that. But, yeah, getting that Google My Business listing is a pretty easy thing to sort of set up. The closer you are to where they're looking for example, you know, if people are looking for a plumber in Sydney, it helps to be as close to possible to the centre of Sydney. That's going to help you show up better. But there's a whole lot of other things that we can talk about, you know, a whole other topic, I suppose.
A whole other one. Yeah, no, I just started briefly bringing it because I know it's something that gets talked about often and people, I think, just go, if I get a Google My Business listing, that means my SEO is done. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. Do you know what I mean? So I just want to really make it transparent that it isn't. And same thing by doing one blog article, that isn't, that there's a lot of moving pieces that we need to look for, which gets me to my next question is, there's a lot of courses out there and a lot of these courses are really great for SEO, especially for people beginning, because as I said earlier, as I've been burned by SEO in the past before I had the opportunity to meet you and I didn't know what I didn't know. So I think it's important that everyone understands SEO, even if they're not the ones implementing the SEO. Yeah. And obviously doing a do-it-yourself course could be more feasible than hiring a specialist who's doing exactly for you. Yep. But it also might not, because I think people need to realize is the course might be cheaper, but how many hours are you putting in to try and learn something that might not actually be your zone of genius? And if you look at how much your hourly rate is and how much you're putting in to actually do the SEO on a subject you're not even the zone of genius of, it actually could be costing your business. So I think it's important that I also throw that in there, because there's a lot of misconceptions about when you take a course, correct? So my question to you is, do you recommend people do their own SEO by taking a do-it-yourself course, or do you say go to a specialist, or do you say, again, it depends?
I'd say it depends. And obviously I'm a little bit biased, but I guess the big thing is, like, it's up to you how much time you have to invest in getting a deep understanding of SEO and then also actually going through and implementing it. You could, you know, learn all the intricacies of SEO and you can do it yourself if you get onto like a good course about it. But it takes time and it takes a lot of time, really. And there's a lot of bad information out there about SEO. So it's easy to go down 1,000 different rabbit holes. And the problem is as well is that bad SEO can actually hurt you. If you're doing it wrong, it can hurt you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, make sure that you are learning from a good source. You know, like there's Backlinko, is someone, Brian Dean, that we, you know, we trust. And if you're going to look in DIY for SEO, you can look down that thing. But I'm a big believer, like you said, in focusing on your zone of genius. And to me, I kind of, like I said, I'm biased, but I believe in continuously improving your own product or service offering. You've probably got a kick-ass service or product, and that's why you went into business in the first place. You know, you saw an opportunity to do things differently or to do things better. And so I guess you've just got to ask yourself that question of, like, is doing, you know, learning about and implementing SEO the best use of your time? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, can you hand that over to someone else who does kind of already understand SEO to a high level, that's got a team that can do all of the different moving pieces, because otherwise does it end up just taking you away from doing what you do best? And and working on improving your offering. But yeah, it's definitely, I know that, you know, that it is quite an investment when you're looking at investing in SEO on a monthly basis. And so there's a lot of people that can't necessarily afford that in the beginning, especially. And so, you know, I guess there's, you know, if you can learn the basics, learning a little bit about keyword research and how to sort of implement that, and just keeping things as natural as possible, so you're not doing anything spammy or anything like that, and you can just start slowly building up naturally. But yeah, I guess
again, people do have to look at where they're at, what's more important, you know, all of those things. But for someone who is a business consultant, that this is one of the primary foundational elements that I teach to my clients. Some people get it, other people don't. And that's okay, because I'm all about just planting the seed. But when people start testing with Facebook ads, Google ads, Pinterest ads, Clubhouse, and everything else, and they start to see little return on investment, or they're getting people in, but they're not actually qualified people who want to buy, again, people start to go, maybe I should try that SEO thing that Ange has been kind of, you know, planting the seed on for a very long time. And as someone who has, like I said, on any given month, 42 to about 55% of my traffic comes from Google on any given month. It's something that I am where I am in business because of the strategy that I've included in this, in my overall business strategy. And I know we mentioned keyword reports because it's the starting point. And Carl, you're one of the biggest givers I know and have known in a very long time. You got a very huge heart. Also, you know that my big mission is to make sure that additional 2,500 women between now and 2025 actually get the tools, community, and resources they need to grow sustainable businesses. And I know you've got something up your sleeve that you're going to share with us in regards to how businesses can have the opportunity to work with you and get that keyword research done as an initial starting point for SEO. Could you share that with us?
Yeah, so I guess what I'm offering just for your people, Ange, because we've obviously worked together for a long time, and I love what you do and the people that you serve. But we've just got 50% off for the keyword research report for all of your listeners. So
that's awesome.
Essentially, that's going to be, you know, it just depends on how many different pages or, you know, different service offerings you need to do keyword research for. But yeah, you're looking at, usually you'd be looking at $300 per page to do the keyword research, and we can do that for $150 per page. And that's obviously just going to give you that, the foundation, so that you make sure you're targeting the right keywords, and you're sort of, you know, even if you are doing it yourself, at least you've got that part of the puzzle solved, and so you can make sure that you're actually talking about the right things in your content. We give you, you know, things like how to actually, like, the other keywords to include in the content. So like I talked about earlier, with associated keywords that Google might associate with. So what we look at is, you know, the top 10 other competitors that are ranking for that particular keyword that we want you to target. And we look at what other keywords they're using as well, so that you can make sure that you're talking about all the things that Google wants to see on that page. And obviously, if you want copywriting and stuff like that done, and you're not comfortable doing it yourself, we can also help there, or you can use, you know, provide that keyword research to a copywriter that you work with or that you want to work with. So that's just kind of, I think, like I said, that's, the keyword research is the foundation that any SEO strategy should really work on. So that's something that I just wanted to make more available for people so that they can get started.
No, and I appreciate that. And when Carl says it's literally offered to those that are listening, that's generally what he means, and to my community, because Carl doesn't go on podcasts. As we know, it takes Carl 3 years to get on a podcast. So Genuinely, this offer is not anywhere else. So I appreciate you willing to do that. Now, where can people look at this particular offer and reach out to you to see if this is the right service for their business?
Yeah, so they can go to staticshift.com.au/Ange. So in case you can't understand my Kiwi accent, but so that's staticshift.com.au/Ange. And that's, that'll tell you a little bit more about what we offer.
But dude, fantastic. Now, I have one final question that I like to ask all my guests. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
Oh, that's a tough one. There's so many different things that I wish I knew, but I guess the biggest thing is learning to ask for help. So I guess I kind of grew up with, you know, having to figure things out for myself. And not that I was necessarily forced to, but that's just, you know, I liked to be challenged and I liked to figure things out for myself. So I struggled in business for a long time because of that. I did a business degree and learned all the theory, but that kind of turns to crap pretty quick when you actually start a business and you're wearing all these different hats. Mm-hmm. So I guess there's a few different ways that I started learning to ask for help. I first of all ended up starting in like a mastermind group and getting mentoring. And so having, I guess, others to share my issues with and learn from, and all of that has like just done huge things for my business. That was a big thing. And then something that I'm really working on now is the art of delegation and letting go of control. So as you know very well, Ange, I've spent a lot of time, a lot of years working, you know, 60, 70 hour weeks for years, and that because I wanted to really control everything. I'm, you know, humble brag, but I knew I was good at what I do. But I kind of just held on to everything, and, you know, even things that I wasn't necessarily the best at. And I wasn't in my zone of genius. I was handling all these things that just because I was like, I didn't trust anyone else to do them because, you know, no one else loves your business like you do. But I quickly became a bottleneck and just found that like I was letting my team down, which also, you know, stopped me from serving more people and focusing on my zone of genius. And obviously part of, you know, what we do as entrepreneurs is we want to serve people. Like I said earlier, you know, you probably know that you provide a better service or a product than most of your competitors. And it's kind of in, you know, in everybody's interest that you get your service out there and that you're focusing on what you do best so that you can really serve those people. And that's something that I'm really working on at the moment, is starting to, you know, pass things on to my team that I may have held on to in the past, and starting to let go of control and I guess letting them make mistakes. That was one of the things I did, was like I always jumped in and stepped in to stop every mistake. So the team just kind of relied on me, and that was through my own fault because I was just jumping in there before any little thing could sort of go wrong. And I mean, I'm talking even really minor things, but, you know, I just spread myself too thin and became that bottleneck. And that's something that, it's definitely not good as you want to grow and serve more people.
In a sense of growth, that's what I actually did a podcast episode 147, where it was called The Power of Asking, the fastest and smartest way to grow your business, right? Sooner you can understand the power of asking and what you need to ask for at that particular moment in time, your business will ultimately grow. So again, it's, ask for help, you know, not only in business, but ask for help at home. If you're a mom, you know, and you need a break, ask. If you don't ask, people can't read your mind, and actually you're the problem, not anyone else, right? So it's so important to ask. Now, Carl, thank you so much for giving up your time today. I really appreciate you coming on board. You know, you are one of my favorite humans, so I appreciate spending some more time with you. Too bad it wasn't face-to-face, but one day soon, hopefully with the Kiwi borders opening to Australia, we will get to hang out again, and hopefully you don't ditch me to go to another concert, but that's another story for another day. So thanks for that, Carl. I appreciate that. Give my love to Lisa. But for the rest of you, please remember that my team and I will be putting the whole transcription for this episode over at angelahenderson.com.au, where we'll include within the show notes the link so that you can get your keyword research done by Carl and Lisa. We'll also give you all of other Carl's links that he's mentioned here today. And for the rest of you, I look forward to you joining me again next week for another amazing episode of the Business and Life Conversations podcast. Thanks so much, Carl, and have a great day.
Thanks, Ange.
Thanks for listening to the Business and Life Conversations podcast with Angela Henderson. www.angelahenderson.com.au